Hi, everyone, and welcome to Talent Talks. On this episode, we're excited to be joined once again by Marion Spears Carr, Managing Director and Head of the Healthcare and Life Sciences Practice at Comar Partners. Mr. Spears Carr has over 30 years in healthcare executive recruiting and talent acquisition. He brings a distinguished set of skills in leading successful recruitment teams that specialize in nursing leadership, C-level, vice president, and senior director level searches. On today's show, Mr. Spears Carr shares his thoughts on a different type of diversity, diversity of thought. Marion will discuss what diversity of thought is and why all firms should consider it on top of the normal DEI initiatives and shares how it drives value into the firm. Marion, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you.
So I know you're really enthusiastic on this topic, and we have a lot to cover. We will jump right in with question number one, which is... Discuss how DEI initiatives must be embedded within the culture of an organization and consistently demonstrated. And adding to that, discuss how leadership from the top down can hold themselves accountable to maintain standards.
That's a lot to unpack with that question, but I think one of the key things that we've seen over the last, 10 years with this movement and focus on diversity and inclusion, and particularly in the last few years, is a lot of organizations, most organizations have said, we need this. We need it as a part of our organization, part of our values. They've rewritten their core value statements. They've added chief diversity inclusion officers. They've done a whole lot of different things to demonstrate that. But one of the biggest challenges sometimes that we've seen in the healthcare systems particularly, but also in organizations outside of healthcare, is that that's not where it needs to stop. When you think about diversity and inclusion and equity, it has to become a measuring stick for all decisions that are being made about the governance of that organization. The board needs to be involved. The leaders need to be involved. And it needs to be a part of what they are as an organization. In other words, it's not enough that they say that they are inclusive or are looking to be diverse, but in looking to support equity within their employment and within their organization, how they service their clients or their customers or whatever it might be. But it has to be really embedded in everyday activity. In other words, when they make a decision, they have to see it through the lens of DEI. Are we making a decision that's going to be inclusive and make a big difference for a particular patient population or a particular group? Or are we in a situation where we're just keeping our DEI in a box over here and we roll it out when we feel like we have to address problems? So I think that's part of it. And then in terms of the accountability part, it goes back to that lens. I've talked to senior leaders at major organizations and my clients, some great people, just phenomenal people who are always have a heart for the work that they do. And one of the things they've had to do is take a step back and go, okay, I have a heart for what I do. I'm really excited about what I'm doing as a leader for this organization. But am I demonstrating that I believe in our core values? And are they part of my daily activity? I'm not saying they have to, say, well, today I'm going to demonstrate that I'm supportive of DEI, but it has to almost be endemic. It almost has to be a part of, did we make a decision? Did I treat someone appropriately? Did I treat them with the level of respect and understanding and care that I should. And I think that's separating leaders. When you see that, when you could walk through an organization with them and you see them in that light, it changes how they lead. It changes how people follow them. And I think that's the leaders we need, moving forward.
What is diversity of thought and why is it an important consideration and how does this differ from typical DEI initiatives?
I'm not an expert on DEI other than what I've observed and paid attention to, but diversity of thought really is this idea that there's reality, that there's more than one way to think about something. It's understanding that the way each person interprets and interacts with the world. What is their point of reference? What is their worldview? One of the areas that I work with organizations on is around gratitude and how we need to demonstrate gratitude in a very meaningful and impactful and intentional way. But one of the key points of showing gratitude is understanding the point of reference of the individual that we are sending that gratitude to. And how, so diversity of thought is, and why it's, I think it's so important, is why I've been on this particular soapbox. Diversity of thought is, are we looking at other people when we try to lead them, when we engage with them, when we are part of some project with them, working with them, or serving them, or whatever it might be, are we taking a moment to step back and think of what is their point of reference? Where are they coming from? What ideas do they have? And I think if you think about diversity of thought in that context, that opens the door up to go past ethnicity, mm-hmm. or gender or whatever it might be. All those things are critically important, right? All those things that are part of the traditional DEI movement is absolutely important. But if we overlay this idea that people are coming from potentially a different point of reference and a life experience, then that opens us up as leaders to know more about who they are and include that in what we do.
It's a concept that should be a no-brainer. To that extent, how can the idea of diversity of thought change how firms look at diversity and inclusion?
It opens the door to consider that everyone within the group provides some level of diversity in some capacity. For example, if we think of a group of people, a small group of people, or you and I, Rob, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different parts of the country. We have a different life experience. You and I, you know, have a lot in common, but from age and a lot of other things, but we also come from completely different life experiences. Right. So if we think of it in the terms of okay, Rob has something to say that I want to listen to. I may not agree with it, or it may not be within my worldview or within how I see things, but it may open my eyes up to looking at a problem or looking at a situation very differently. And it's that being open, you know, open to where someone else is coming from, and not just assume because they are of a particular race or a particular gender or a particular age or have a particular stereotype around them that they don't have value in the discussion, or may have an idea that is incredibly valuable to what we're trying to do.
Marion, please explain how diversity of thought can also include an understanding of neurodiversity. Do you expect neurodiversity to be a topic of discussion in reference to DEI in the future?
I think there's a lot of that going on right now. I've been following it in very progressive. So neurodiverse, people that are neurodiverse, there's a wide range of people that fall into that category. But for example, if they're somewhere on the autism spectrum, they may look at things from a completely different approach. They may have their brain processes things differently. They come at it from a completely different perspective. I recently coached a rising leader in healthcare who just completed their master's of health administration. Incredibly bright mm-hmm. individual. Matter of fact, amazingly bright individual, and he shared with me that that he was autistic. And he's the one that really opened my eyes to the neurodiverse space. I wasn't really aware of it. And there were some things that he and I talked about around how he's perceived, how he communicates, how people communicate with him, how he processes, et cetera. And it really opened my eyes and my brain, if you will, around this idea that when we think about a population within our organizations that are neurodiverse in some capacity, we need to be cognizant of that. And they may bring something to, and they do, not may, they bring something to the table that that could add to what we're doing and allow us to be more inclusive by saying, okay, we celebrate where you're coming from. We celebrate where you're coming from. I'm very interested in the world of how the brain functions. Mm-hmm. I'm a survivor of traumatic brain injury, and I support as a volunteer programs around that. So I've been interested in that. But until I started, volunteering to coach this particular individual, and then started seeing some other people that thought leaders write about it, I wasn't aware of it at all. And when we think about our hiring practices, we need to accommodate when we can that particular group.
Wow, it's a great answer. Describe how you, as a white male, may not seem like a diverse individual, but how your experiences have influenced you to make you diverse in terms of your perspectives and thoughts.
And I know that sounds incredibly controversial to talk about that for
sure.
Someone to say, yeah, well, you know, well, I claim to be a white male, or I claim to be whatever it might be. But here's where the nuance comes in, and this is where this is important. You may be able to tell I have a fairly regional accent to North Carolina. I'm a native of North Carolina. I live in the mountains of Georgia. I grew up in a very blue-collar family. I grew up that had a lot of influencers from the Appalachian region. One of those influences is related to what we're talking a lot about now, called social determinants of health. The culture was not all that great in terms of the food we ate and some of the lifestyle choices that my family members, and growing up in a blue-collar mill village in the 70s, where everyone was poor, was already my neighborhood was desegregated very early because everyone worked in the mill. I bring a different life experience where on the surface you may see me as a baby boomer white educated business person. Yes, I do fit that particular category, but there's so much more in terms of my life experiences that I think we have to be really careful if we take our DEI efforts and use a color palette, if you will, to determine who falls into what category, we miss out on understanding a much richer point of view. And for example, I'm very interested now in all the work in healthcare around the social determinants of health and population health and addressing at-risk populations and culture. And I think it's a long process for that to make changes in generational changes. How do I have an interest in that? It's because I saw that growing up. I saw that in terms of my life experience as a younger person and around my family and around the part of North Carolina I grew up in, around the culture that I still live in the Appalachian region. So I think we have to be really careful to go, well, I see you through this lens, so you must be like this. That's not always the case. I don't know if that makes sense, Rob, but that's really how I try to frame that discussion.
It's all fascinating, and once again, you bring such great answers to our conversations, and I'm grateful. Marion, thank you again for joining us today to discuss diversity of thought. It was an extremely interesting conversation and take on DEI initiatives. It certainly should be considered here on out for any firm looking to get the most out of their talent, especially companies looking for diverse thoughts, thought process, and different perspectives. It certainly should be considered here on out for any firm looking to get the most of their talent, especially companies looking for diverse thoughts, thought process, and different perspectives. Anything you want to add before we wrap up? It's just, you know, you're a fascinating person to talk with.
Thank you. I'm just glad to be here. And I think for leaders, if you would just take a moment and look at your DEI efforts and say, are we really being inclusive? Are we really expanding who we include in discussion and how we see them and their point of reference? Their leadership skills will even grow further. So that, anyway, I think it would be a better way to look at it.
And I think the word I would use in wrapping up with you is enlightened. You are enlightened, and you enlighten me as you talk. And I think that's important.
Well, thank you. I'm very fortunate to very fortunate to be in the work that I am, and have an open, and someone, you know, one of my mentors said, you need to be more open-minded. And that's what started this whole journey. So thank you for that. Thank you for that observation, Bob.
Well, keep opening those minds. That's all the time we have here today. Alongside Marion Spears Carr of Comhar Partners, I'm Rob Adams, and this has been Talent Talks.